We continue Be'ezat Hashem in our Limud in Masechet Moed Katan. We are on the top line of Daf Yud Amud Aleph. This Limud is Le'ilui Nishmat Baruch ben Shelomo, Shelomo ben Reuven, Erez ben Miriam, Shaul ben Latifa, Shulika bat Chana, Esther bat Ladisya, and Simcha bat Ladisya, Alehem HaShalom. The Mishnah said, "Hahediot tofer kedarko." In regards to sewing on Chol HaMoed, a hediot, a person who's not a professional tailor, he's unskilled in sewing, so he can sew in his usual way. The Gemara asks, "Hechidam yehediot." What's the case of a hediot? What's considered a person who's unskilled? And he's allowed on Chol HaMoed. So we have two opinions here. Amri de Rabbi Yanai, in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yanai, they answered, Kol she'eno yachol lehotzi melomachat bevat achat. Anyone who's not able to pull out a length of a needle of stitches at one time, which means a professional person is a person who is at least able to pass a needle through a beged, through a garment, in and out several times, to the length of a needle. And then, with one pull of the needle, he's able to take out the stitch. If he's not able to do it with one pull, then he's not considered a professional. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina Amar, Kol She'eno Yachol Lechaven Imra Behefet Chaluko. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says, a person is unskilled if he's not able to make a hem evenly on the bottom of his robe. So to sew a hem evenly, in an even line, that's considered already someone who is somewhat professional. If he's unable to do that, then he's considered hediot, and he's allowed to be tofer kedarko on Chol HaMoed. Then the Mishnah said, Ve'ha'uman machliv. And the one who is professional, he is allowed only to be machliv on Chol HaMoed. Asks the Gemara, Mai machliv? What does that mean? So here we also have two opinions. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Mafsia. Rabbi Yochanan says, machliv means to stitch with wide gaps in between. Which means that the stitches, they're not close together. They're spread out. So that's machliv. Machliv comes from the word kelev. And just like the teeth of a kelev, of a dog, are spaced wide apart. So that's machliv, to make the stitches spread apart. That's a temporary way. That's not a way of the uman, so that's not considered kedarko, and the uman is allowed to do that. Rabbi Bar Shmuel amar shine kalbeta. Rabbi Bar Shmuel says to stitch in a way that is similar to the teeth of a dog, which means not to sew evenly across the beged, but to stitch one up, one down, one up, one down, just like the teeth of the dog that are not even. The Mishnah continued and said, Mesaregin et hamitot. We are allowed to be mesareg. We are allowed to interweave the cords that support the mattress of the bed. My mesaregin, my mesaregin, umay menatechin. Because the Mishnah continued and told us that according to Rabbi Yossi, you're not allowed to be mesareg. You're only allowed to be memateach, to stretch out, to tighten. So the Gemara now is asking, what is the exact definition of each one of these words, misaregin and memateachin? So here we have a whole machloket. Ki ata Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came back from Eretz Yisrael, Amar, he said, he reported, Pligi bar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba v'Rabbi Asi. There's a machloket here between Rabbi Chiya bar Abba and Rabbi Asi, v'tarvayu mishmede Chizkiya v'Rabbi Yochanan. And both of them said what they said in the name of both Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, what were the two opinions? Chad amar mesaregin sheti va'erev, umematechin sheti belo erev. One of them said, when it says misaregin in the Mishnah, it's referring to weaving the cords, the ropes of the bed, sheti va'erev. Sheti is lengthwise, right, the horizontal, and erev is across, that's the width, across the width, which is, that's horizontal. Sheti is vertical, and erev is horizontal. So, misaregin means to do both, to weave both directions of the ropes of the bed. Umematechin sheti velo erev. But mematechin means only to place the ropes of the bed along the length of the bed, without weaving them across. Only one way, but not across, not horizontal. Sheti belo erev. Okay? V'chad amar, mesaregim is sheti belo erev. Mesaregin means to place the ropes of the bed along the length and not across. Sheti without erev. U'mematechin means something else entirely. She'im ayarafui mematecho. That you're not allowed, the one who holds mematechim, Rabbi Yossi, who says mematechim, he says you're not allowed bichlal to put the cords for the first time. It only means that if they were already woven on the bed before the chag, and then they became loosened, so you're allowed to tighten them. So that's mematechim. Okay, so we have two opinions. According to one, mesaregin is sheti va'erev, mematechin is sheti without erev. And according to another opinion, misaregin is sheti without erev, and mematechi means only to tighten them. So the Gemara asks, Eini, is that so? Is it true that according to one explanation, misaregin means only sheti velo erev, but to put sheti va'erev, both of them, is asur? Vehatane Rav Tachlifa Bar Shaul. Rav Tachlifa Bar Shaul said over a braita, Veshavin she'en mafshilin chavalim lechatechila. And they both agree, which means both Tanaim in the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, they both agree that we are not allowed to be mafshil chavalim lechatechila, which means to make new ropes, to twist new ropes, to twirl them and to make them into ropes in the beginning, for the first time, that's not allowed. They both agree you're not allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. So now, if that's the case, Bishlam Aleman Da'amar Misaregim Sheti Va'erev, this is understood according to the one who says that Misaregim means you're allowed to place the ropes Sheti Va'erev, Umematechin is Sheti Belo Erev. Hainu dekatane Rav Tachlifa Bar Shaul. Now we understand what Rav Tachlifa Bar Shaul said. Veshavin she'en mafshilim chavalim lechatechila. That they both agree that you're not allowed to make the ropes for the first time. Which means that even though Rabbi Meir allows for you to place the ropes, sheti and erev, but you're not allowed to twist new ones, to make new ones. But ela leman de'amar misarigim sheti belo erev. But according to the opinion that says that even Rabbi Meir only allowed to be misareg sheti without erev. And mematechin she'im haya rafui haya mematecho. The mematechi means only if it was already there, and now you come, and it became loosened, and you come to tighten it, it's allowed. So now the question is, hashta sheti va'erev amart lo. That means, according to this opinion, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi agreed that both sheti va'erev is not allowed. According to Rabbi Meir, sheti belo erev is allowed, and according to Rabbi Yossi, only mematechim, that if it was loosened, you tighten it. But to put them both sheti va'erev is not allowed. Yeah, they both agree. So then what's the chidush of the braita that says that they both agree that they're not allowed to twist new ropes? Hashta sheti va'erev amart lo. If even just placing them, sheti va'erev, you say that both of them agree that you're not allowed. Chavalim lechatechila mibaya? Does the braita need to tell me that they're not allowed to twist new ropes? That's for sure. I mean, they both agree that you're not even allowed to place old ones, both lengthwise and crosswise, meaning sheti va'erev. So of course, to make new ropes would be not allowed. So this braita is not understood according to this opinion that explained the machloket of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi that way. And the Gemara answers, Kashya, that's true. It is indeed a difficulty according to this opinion. You're right. The Baita will not be understood according to this opinion. Amar le Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak le Rabbi Chiya bar Avin. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak said to Rav Chiya bar Avin, Mi ika leman de amar mesaregin sheti velo erev? Is there really someone who holds that the term mesaregin means sheti velo erev, placing the ropes only to the length but not across? Vehatenan, but did we not learn in a Mishnah? It's a Mishnah in Masechet Kelim. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir says, Hamita misheisrog ba shelosha batim. Over there, the Mishnah in Masechet Kelim is talking about when is a bed considered a keli, considered a finished utensil, and only after it's a finished keli is it able to be mekabel tum'ah, is it susceptible to tum'ah. So what is the minimum shi'ur, measurement of what's considered to be a bed? So Rabbi Meir says, misheisrog ba shelosha batim, from when you interweave the ropes of the bed that hold the mattress, three batim, three boxes. Now, the reason why it's called boxes is because it's interwoven, because you do both sheti va'erev, right, lengthwise and across, so that makes rows of boxes, right? So therefore, it says over here that when is it considered a bed? Misheisrog ba, uses the term misheisrog, when you interweave three batim at least. That's when it's considered a bed. What do you see from here? That the word mesaregin means both sheti va'erev. If it's only sheti velo erev, then it wouldn't be considered mesaregim shlosha batim. So therefore, the Gemara does agree that this pirush of the word mesaregim to say that it's only sheti velo erev is not correct. Ela ki ata ravin, therefore, the report that Rav Dimi said before is rejected. And now we're going to hear the report that Ravin said when he came back from Eretz Yisrael. Ki ata Ravin amar, he said, b'mesaregin kule alma lo pligi desheti va'erev. Everybody agrees that the word mesaregin refers to both lengthwise and across. Ela ki pligi b'mematchin. The machloket is regarding the meaning of mematchin. Mar savar mematchin sheti belo erev. One held that the Mishnah that says mematchin an chol ha-moed, that means to place the ropes only sheti, only lengthwise, but not erev, but not crosswise. Umar savar, and the other opinion holds that mematchin is sheimaya rafui mematecho, that if the ropes, only if the ropes of the bed were already there and they were loose, then you're allowed to tighten them, but to put them across for the first time, you're not allowed. So the machloket really was only on the word mematechin, not on the word mesaregin. Everyone agrees that mesaregin is both sheti va'erev. The Gemara asks on this as well. Metivei, we have a contradiction from a braita. It states, mesaregin et hamita, we are allowed to interweave the bed, an chol ha-moed, ve'en tzarich lomar she'mematechin. And surely we are allowed to be memateach. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi omer, Rabbi Yossi says, mematechin, aval lo mesaregin. We're allowed only to be memateach, but not to be mesareg. Ve'yesh omrim, here the Braita gives us a third opinion. Ve'yesh omrim, en mematechim kol ikar. Some say, an chol ha-moed, you're not even allowed to be memateach at all. So now, bishlama lemandamar mematechin sheti belo erev. It's understandable, according to the one who explained that mematechin means to place the ropes sheti and not erev, haynu de'atu yeshomrim leifluge. So now we understand the third opinion that comes to argue and to disagree with the first two opinions and to say, no, you're not allowed to be memateach at all, meaning you're not allowed to be mesareg, that means sheti and erev, and you're not allowed to be memateach sheti belo erev. So that's what it means, en mematechim kol ikar. Ela leman da'amar shimaya rafui mematecho, but according to the opinion that says that memateach means just to tighten, it doesn't even mean to put the ropes, just to tighten the ropes. Leyesh omrim imatecho namilo? Is it possible that there is an opinion that says that even tightening the ropes would be not allowed on Chol HaMoed? For what purpose? You're not doing any melacha. It's not even a tircha yetera. Why would someone hold that even just to be tightening the ropes is not allowed? The Gemara says, yes, it's possible. Meaning, it's possible to explain that memateach means just to tighten. And it's possible to have an opinion that says, yesh omrim, that en memateachim kol ikar, that you're not allowed to tighten them on Chol HaMoed either. You know why? Kevan de'efshar lemimalye be'maneh, since it's possible to fill in the bottom of the bed with begadim, with clothing, so then that will hold up the mattress for a temporary time. Lo talchinan. So we're not allowed on Chol HaMoed to be toreach, to burden ourselves, to tighten the ropes. That, according to this opinion, that would be considered tircha yetera, because there is an option after all. For now, for a few days, just fill in the bottom of the mattress with clothing. The mattress will be on top of clothing and it will be okay. So there can be an opinion that holds that memateach means to tighten, and even that is possible to say that is not allowed on Chol HaMoed. Now we begin the next Mishnah. Ma'amidin tanu v'chiraim v'rehaim b'moed. We're allowed to be ma'amid. We're allowed to set up an oven or a stove. These are two different types of old tanurim, ovens. The tanur had on top of it a room to put two pots, and a kira had on top of it room to put only one pot. So that's the difference between tanur and kira. So we are allowed to set up a tanur v'chiraim on Chol HaMoed, and also rechaim. Rechaim means a pair of millstones, the two big round stones, which they would grind wheat and grain. So that's called millstones. That's rechaim. We're allowed to set it up on Chol HaMoed, which means to build them from scratch. Rabbi Yehuda omer, en mechabeshin et arechaim batechila. We're not allowed to be mechabesh the millstone batechila in the beginning. Batechila means a new one, a new rechaim. What mechabesh means, we're going to see in the Gemara. Immediately the Gemara asks, my mechabeshin? What does this mean when Rabbi Yehuda says we're not allowed to be mechabeshim et arechaim batechila? Mai mechabeshim? What is the meaning of this word? So we have here two opinions. Rabbi Yehuda says, menaker rechaya. That means to cut and to engrave grooves in the millstone in order for the millstone to be able to grind properly. So therefore, if the stones are just smooth, they're not going to grind. You have to make them rough. You have to cut into them, make grooves into them. And this way, they are able to grind well. So that's called, the process of making these grooves is called menaker rechaya. That's mechabesh, according to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yechiel amar, Rav Yechiel says, bat aena. It means cutting and making an eye hole into the top stone of the millstones. That's the hole through which the kernels enter between the stones, and then they are ground by the stones. So on the top stone of the millstones, there is a hole into which they put the grain. That's called bat ena, and according to Rav Yechiel, that means that's what the meaning of lechabesh. So now the Gemara is going to ask on this Pirush of Rav Yechiel. Metivei, we have a contradiction from the following Braita. It says, Ma'amidim tanu v'chiraim v'rechaim b'moed. We're allowed to set up an oven or a stove or millstones on Chol HaMoed. Ubilvad shelo yigmor melachtan. As long as you do not complete their work. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you're allowed to set up a tanu v'chiraim, but leave something on Chol HaMoed, but leave something unfinished. Don't finish it. Chachamim omrim af yigmor. Chachamim argue, and they say you're even allowed to do it completely. Rabbi Yehuda omer mishmo. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, ma'amidin et hachadasha u'mechabeshim et hayeshana. We're allowed to set up an old tanur v'chiraim, and we are allowed to be mechabesh. I'm sorry, the other way around. We're allowed to set up a new one, and we're allowed to be mechabesh the old one. V'yesh omrim en mechabeshim kol ikar. And some hold you're not allowed to be mechabesh at all, not even an old one. So now the Gemara is going to explain how this is a problem with Rav Yechiel's explanation. It's understood according to Rav Yehuda, who explained that the word mechabeshin means to cut the grooves into the stone of the millstone. So haynu de mashkachat la bishana. So that's how we can understand the words of Rabbi Yehuda in this braita, mechabeshim et hayeshana, that we're allowed to be mechabesh the old one, the old millstones already, the grooves already smoothened out, and now you need to make new grooves. So it makes sense to say mechabeshim et hayeshana. But according to Rav Yechiel, who said mechabesh means to make the hole into it, yeshana bat ena lamala. Why does the old one need an eye hole cut into it? I mean, it for sure has it already. Yeshana means it was used as a millstone, right? So that means it already has an eye hole. So what does that mean, mechabeshim et hayeshana? How does that make sense? According to Rav Yechiel, who explained mechabeshim means to cut in the eye hole, the Gemara answers, no, you could even explain according to Rav Yechiel, kegon dekabae le'arvuche tfei purta. It doesn't mean that it did not have an eye hole at all, but it means in a case where you want to make the hole wider, you want to make it bigger. So that means that's what Rav Yehuda said in the Braita, mechabeshim et hayeshana, to make the bat'ena, to make the hole a little bit bigger. That's fine. So there's no question from the Braita on Rav Yechiel. The Gemara tells us a case, Rav Huna, Shamei Lehu Gavra, Rav Huna once on Chol HaMoed, he heard a certain person, Dekamenakeh Rechaya Bechula Demo'ada, that he was actually cutting grooves into his millstone on Chol HaMoed. Amar, Rav Huna said, Manhai, who is this? This person who is doing this on Chol HaMoed? Itachil Gufe, Dekamachil chula de mo'ada, just like he is desecrating chol ha-mo'ed, may his body be desecrated. He gave him a curse because of the fact that he was doing this on chol ha-mo'ed. But why? Why was he machmir? After all, in the Mishnah it said that you're allowed mechabeshim. The Gemara says savar la ki yeshomrim, because Rav Huna held like the opinion in the Braita of yeshomrim that even to be mechabesh is also not allowed on chol ha-mo'ed. Remember in Pirkei Avot, it says, Mevazeh et ha-mo'adot, chas v'shalom, to be mevazeh, to belittle the mo'ed, and it's referring to chol ha-mo'ed. And so Rav Huna was very upset about this person, and he gave him that klala. Darash Rav Chama. Rav Chama explained in his drasha, Nokrin rechaim ba-mo'ed. We are allowed to cut grooves into the millstone on chol ha-mo'ed. Mishum Rabbi Meir Amar, and it was said in the name of Rabbi Meir, Afilu sus sherochev alav, v'chamor sherochev alav, mutar litol tzipornayim b'chulo shel moed. Even in the case of one's horse that he rides on it, or a donkey that a person rides on it, it's permitted litol tzipornayim, to trim his hooves on chol ha-moed of the animal. Aval chamara derechaya lo, but to trim the hooves of the donkey of the millstone, which means they used to have special donkeys that would turn the millstone, and how would the donkey turn it? He would turn it with his hooves, and so to trim the hooves of the donkey of the millstone is not allowed. That's not allowed on Chol HaMoed, Rav Chama explained. Rav Yehuda share lemishkal tufre lechamara derechaya. Rav Yehuda, however, argued, and he held that it's permissible on Chol HaMoed to trim the hooves of the donkey of the millstone. Uleukum erechaya. And also he held you're allowed to set up a pair of millstones. Ulemivne rechaya, and to build it. Ulemivne amat rechaya, and even to build the Amat Rechaya. Rashi explains, Amat rechaya ha'etz sheharechaim banui alav. That means the wooden frame of the millstone upon which it is built. Some explain differently. Some Rishonim say that the Amat rechaya means the water channel that carries the water, which pushes the mill, which turns it. So there's two pirushim here to what Amat Rechaya means, and Rav Yehuda, it's included in the list of what Rav Yehuda allowed to build on Chol HaMoed. And the last one, Ulemivne Uriah, and even to build a barn on Chol HaMoed is also allowed, or a horse stable. So therefore, this is allowed on Chol HaMoed, being that it is very necessary for the horses or for the animals, and if one does not build it, it will cause a loss. Rava shara lesaroke susia. Rava allowed on Chol HaMoed lesaroke, to comb the hair of the horse with a metal comb. That's lesaroke susia on Chol HaMoed. Ule mivne akarpita, and to build an akarpita. That means to build a trough. That's the basket from which the food basket from which the horses eat. Ulemivne itzteba, and to build a bench. That's a stone bench that was made for the animals. Some say also for people to sit on. So to build that, that's also considered a need that is allowed on Chol HaMoed. Rava shara le mishkal dama libhema bechula de moada. Rava also permitted to let out blood for an animal for medical purposes on Chol HaMoed. Amar le Abaye, Abaye told him, Tanya de misayalach, you have a braita that supports your opinion. Makizim dam labema, we are allowed to let out blood from an animal for refu'a, ve'en mon'im refu'a la behema b'chulo shel moed. We don't withhold any medical treatment from an animal on Chol HaMoed. Rava shara lekaskuse kirme. Rava allowed to lekaskuse kirme, that's legahetz. Rashi says gihutz. That means to iron out garments, which means to scrub them together as part of the process of laundry. So that is allowed also on Chol HaMoed. Maitama ma'aseh hedyotu. The reason why this is allowed, because it's not something that requires a professional craftsman. Even a regular person can do so. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Ami, Amar Rav Chisda, kiture bere asir. Rav Yitzchak Bar Ami said in the name of Rav Chisda that kiture bere, to tie sleeves in a way that is professional, that creates pleats, that creates evenly folded pleats. They used to have that on the sleeves. That is asur on Chol HaMoed. Maitama, what's the reason? Maase ummanhu, because that is the work of a professional, and therefore that is not allowed on Chol HaMoed. So we see one of the main criterions for understanding what is allowed on Chol HaMoed, if it's a maaseh hediyot, if it's something that anyone can do, then it's not a melacha, that's asu. If you need a uman, then it's asu on Chol HaMoed. Amar Rava, Rava says, man dim takel ara'a, someone who clears ground, he clears the ground on Chol HaMoed by removing all kinds of stones and obstacles from the land, from his field. So it depends. Adata de bedare, if he is doing so with the intention of clearing a space for a threshing floor where he's going to thresh his grain on Chol HaMoed, share, then it is allowed, because that's something that is needed for the Chag. He needs to bring grain home for the Chag. So if he's clearing out a space in the field for the purpose of making it a threshing floor, that's allowed. But adata de ara, if he's doing it with the intention of improving and cultivating the land, asil, then it's not allowed. Then it's like choresh, which is not allowed on Chol HaMoed. Hechidami, how do we see how his intentions are? How can we see a sign if his intentions are one way or another, to make a threshing floor or for the intention of improving the land? Hechidami, what's the case? So if it's mulia bemulia, if he's digging a mound, he digs into a mound of dirt, and he puts more dirt on another mound. He takes from one mound of dirt and he puts on another mound. Venatza benatza, or he digs one hole and he puts dirt in another hole. So then that's a sign, adata de bedare. That means he's only clearing out a specific space in the ground with the intention of making it a threshing floor. But shakal mulia vishada benatza, but if he's taking dirt from a mound and he throws it into a hole, so then adata de'ara, then it's surely, it seems clearly that he's working the ground with the intention of improving it. And that would not be allowed. So again, if he's taking dirt from one mulia to another, from one mound to another, so it doesn't look like he's trying to flatten out his field in a way that normally one cultivates his ground. He's just trying to make space, a specific space for a threshing floor. If he's taking from the mulia and putting into the natza, which means if he's taking dirt from the mound and he's putting it into a hole, that means he's trying to flatten out his field. That's the way of cultivating the ground, and that's not allowed. Ve'amar Rava, and Rava said, Hayman dezache ziche, one who is clearing his field from all kinds of twigs and branches. So are you allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed? Adata detzive share, if he's doing it with the intention of using the twigs that he picks up. He needs twigs to make fire in order to make food. Share, that's allowed, because that's for the purpose of Chol HaMoed. Adata de'ara, but if he's doing it in order to clear and to prepare the ground for planting, for example, then it's asur. Hechidami, how can we see? Where is there a sign to know if his intentions are this way or that way? Shakil rav reve v'shavik zutre. If let's say you see that he's taking the bigger ones, he's taking the bigger branches, v'shavik zutre, he's leaving the small ones on the ground, then it's clear that adata detzive, he's doing it only for the purpose of taking branches to make fire. Shakal rav reve v'zutre, but if you see that he's taking out both the large ones and the small ones, adata de'ara, then it's clear that he's doing so with the intention of preparing the ground for planting, and that is not allowed on Chol HaMoed. Ve'amar Rava, and Rava said, Hayman de patach maya le'are. That means a person who opens up the gates of a water channel that's running through his field, he opens up the gates so that it should go through his field. Patach maya le'are, adata dechvare share. If his intention is for the purpose of catching fish that come along with the water, so then it is mutal. The fish he's going to eat on the chag. Adata de'ara, but if it's for the purpose of watering the ground, then he's not allowed to do so on Chol HaMoed. Once again, the Gemara explains, how do we know to see his intentions? Hechidami, what's the case? Patach tere bave. Let's say he opens two separate gates for the water channel to flow. Chad mi'ila'e v'chad mi'tata'e. He opens one gate from the top, from above his field, and another gate from below the field. So in other words, you see that he wants the water that flows in also to flow out. So then, adata dechvare. So you see, he's doing it only for the purpose, with the intention of catching the fish, because the water is going to flow out, and only the fish is going to remain. Patach chad bava adata de'ara. But if he opens only one gate, so then we can assume that he's doing this with the intention of watering the ground, because you see that he wants the channel to be filled, and not to flow out, and so that the water will overflow into his field. Another halacha, ve'amar Rava says, Hayman de pashach dikla, one who is cutting branches of a palm tree on Chol HaMoed. So, is that allowed? Depends. Adata dechevata share. If he's doing it with the intention to feed his animals from these palm tree branches, then it's allowed. Adata de dikla, if he's doing it with the intention to enhance the growth of his palm tree, then it's asur. Hechidame, What is the case? How do we see his intention? Shakil kule mechad gisa. If you see that he's taking all the branches from only one side of the tree, so then adata dechevata. Then you see that he's doing it with the intention of feeding it to his animals. Because you see that he's not concerned really with the tree, he just needs those branches, so he's taking them from one side. Mehai gisa u mehai gisa adata de dikla ve'asir. But if you see that he's taking off the branches from this side of the tree and also from the other side, so then we can assume he's doing it with the intention to enhance his palm tree, and that is not allowed. Ve'amara varava said, Hani tamre tuchlane. These dates that are unripe dates. So, migzerin hu share, to cut them into two pieces, to cut the dates, these unripe dates, that is allowed, because he's preparing to eat them. Okay, that's allowed on Chol HaMoed. But, maitzin hu asir, but to press them, to put them under heavy weights, and to press the little juice out of them, so then that is asir, that is not allowed, because this shows that his intention is not to actually eat these dates right now. His intention is to dry them, and so it's not for the purpose of this time of Chol HaMoed. He's going to use them only far ahead in the future. His intention is to dry them, and that was the way that before they would dry them in the sun, they would press them as much as possible beforehand. So to do that on Chol HaMoed is not allowed, because it's not Letzorech HaMoed. Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa actually argued, and he said, Kevan de mitle'e, since it's possible for them to become wormy, there's going to be too many worms if they're not pressed, so then, Ki prakmatia ha'aved dami. Then it's like business, it's like merchandise that is going to go lost if you don't take care of them now. Veshare, and therefore it is allowed to press them on Chol HaMoed as well. Because if you don't do so, they're going to get all full of worms and they're going to go lost. Another halacha from Rava on Chol HaMoed, ve'ama Rava prakmatia kol shehu asur. According to Rava, any kind of business, of merchandising on Chol HaMoed is not allowed because of the tircha that is involved. However, Amar Rav Yossi Bar Avin, ubedavar ha'aved mutar. Rav Yossi Bar Avin says, in the case of something that is going to go lost if you don't do it, to prevent a loss, is mutar on Chol HaMoed. Ravina, havale hahu iska. Ravina once had a business. Dehava mizdaban beshita alfe. It could have been sold for 6,000 dinar. Shahaye lezabune batar chula de moada. And he delayed selling it until after Chol HaMoed. He had a chance to sell it for 6,000 on Chol HaMoed, but he didn't want to do this prakmatia, this business on Chol HaMoed, and he waited until afterwards. Whatever will be, will be. V'zabne bitresar alfe. Hashem rewarded him. He sold it with 12,000 dinarim, for double the price that he could have sold it during Chol HaMoed. Ravina hava masik zuze bivne akra deshanvata. Ravina, he had a claim of money against the people of Akra de Shanvata, by the city of the Shanvata River. And he had a monetary claim against them. Apparently he lent money to them, or the like. So, Atale Kameh de Rav Ashi, he came before Rav Ashi. Amar Leh, he asked him, Ma'u lemezal ha'idna alayhu? What's the halacha? Can I go and ask them for payment today? Meaning, it was Chol HaMoed. Is this considered prakmatia? That is not allowed? Am I allowed to go and collect and make my claim today, even though it's Chol HaMoed? Amar Leh, so Rav Ashi answered Ravina, Kevan de ha'idna hu de mashkachat lehu, beyome achrine la mashkachat lehu? Since today you're going to find them and you'll be able to collect your money, but on another day you won't be able to find them so easily. Keprakmatia ha'avedami. This is like merchandise that is going to go lost if you don't do it today. Vishare, and therefore it is allowed. Tanya Nami Gabe Avodah Zarah Ki Ay Gavna. The Gemara says that we learned in a Braita similar to this regarding the din of Avodah Zarah. Holchin Liyarid Shel Goyim. We are allowed to go to a fair of sales of Goyim, of Avodah Avodah Zarah. You're allowed to go there. Velokhim behema avadim ushfachot batim sadot uchamim. You're allowed to purchase from them animals, slaves, maidservants, and houses, and fields, and vineyards. Vekotev u'ma'ale be'arkaot shelahem. And you're allowed to write up and to record all these business transactions in their erkaot, in their courts, even though normally this would not be allowed because this is giving kavod to their Avodah Zarah, and also they might come to say thank you and to praise their Avodah Zarah when you do so, you're allowed, mipeneshu kematzil miyadan, because you're actually saving all this property from their hands. Because the only way that it's possible for the buyer to protect himself against the seller's changing his mind from the transactions is by making sure that everything is recorded properly in their erkaot. So it's considered matzil miyadam. We see from here that any time-sensitive transactions are considered like a case where a person is going to suffer a loss, and therefore it is mutar.